Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Thanks for tuning in. It's Eric Bowman, managing editor for TravelPulse.com, joined as always by my co-host, Dan Callahan. Dan, how you doing on this fine Travel Tuesday?
Doing great. It's hoodie weather in New Jersey. Starting to get a little brisk up here in the mornings and in the evening, which I appreciate, but I'm definitely getting there, and I'm not just sweating from sitting down in air conditioning all day. So it's getting better.
That's nice. Hoodie season in Georgia is still a ways away, although this weekend might venture into that. We'll see. But today is National Double Cheeseburger Day, so get yourself a double stack, Dan. And I know last week you said you're working on, you know, trying to get better on your weight, but it's National Double Cheeseburger Day, so you got to be a true American and get your double stack.
See, it's always something, no matter what. It's like you got Memorial Day, and then you got the 4th of July, then you got Labor Day, and then you got National Double Cheeseburger Day. I mean, the holidays just come one after the next, but I would like to point out there's an International Cheeseburger Day, because most of the world is fine with just having a single, but here in America, we have the National, just for America, the Double Cheeseburger Day. I'm sure next month is the Dave's Trip National Day. So, I mean, we're just going to Americanize the hell out of these cheeseburger days.
Enjoy it while you can, my man. So we've got a great show for you today. Enough talk about food. This is a travel podcast, so we're here to talk travel, and we have a great guest on today's show. So before we get to that, we also talk what's trending. But today's guest is the one and only Samantha Brown, travel expert and TV host, formerly with the Travel Channel, now on her own show, the Emmy award-winning show, Samantha Brown's Places to Love. She has a wealth of travel knowledge. She's been traveling to over 250 cities in 62 countries. She's done over 200 hours of travel shows on 14 different series. So very much looking forward to that interview coming up later on in the show. But as always, we get to first, what is trending in the world of travel at the moment? And right now, cruising is hot. There's a lot of news around that. The hits continue for the cruise lines as Carnival is now disposing of 18 ships. Previously, it was 13. So an unfortunate there, but you know, the cruise line CEOs are frustrated about this and they continue about the continued shutdown. And they want to restart in the U.S. We had Frank Del Rio say, CEO of Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, saying enough is enough. You know, and I propose this up to readers, you know, when this should cruising start back in the U.S.? When should it happen? What wanted to get people's take on that. We had a pretty good email to our podcast, which you can reach out, and we love feedback. podcast@travelpulse.com is the best way to reach out to us. This comment coming from a Facebook reader saying that this Ivan Manisonet, sorry if I butchered your name there, Ivan, but he said cruising should resume, yes, with no stops. Enjoy the sea views and the food, which, you know, it's pretty intriguing. We haven't really discussed on the show is a cruise to nowhere, which Dan, would you take a cruise to nowhere?
I don't know if I would per se. However, I think it could be a good idea, maybe a good experiment, if you will. I know there is a lot of people out there, a lot of avid cruisers who would jump at that opportunity just to do it and get out there, finally go back out. But I think it would be able to show and test the waters of, no pun intended, but you'd be able to test here of whether, you know, this illness, disease, whether it can, you know, spread throughout a cruise ship, as they're saying it does just ever so rapidly. People can go out on a cruise ship, and if everybody's following the procedures, the cleanliness on board, everything in place, all of that, and be able to see how it goes. I mean, it's been done a little bit with some other smaller cruise lines. I know we were talking about some of the ones from MSC over in the Mediterranean, even some cruises that are going out up in Norway, things like that. It seems like it kind of has. They are figuring it out. So I think something like that would be able to at least slowly get back into the realm of cruising here, or even some cruise lines like Royal Caribbean that have their own private islands, maybe you could go there and do it. But I don't think they're at the point yet where they want to start going port to port to port where it could possibly be spread. So maybe that cruise to nowhere might be a good starting point.
Yeah, a good trial run there. CLIA actually, this used to be a thing before, but CLIA actually stopped doing these back in like 2015. So things could change back, remains to be seen. We've reached out to CLIA, hopefully getting a comment there, and we'll have a story up on Travel Pulse on that. But I mean, many of these large cruise ships are destinations themselves, you know, but the likely thing to happen to cruise lines, as you mentioned, Dan, I think they stop at their private island first, and then they come back to the U.S., at least, you know, going out of Miami and, you know, hitting their private islands in the Bahamas. So we'll see how that goes. But you do, if you want to make your voice heard to the CDC on cruising, you have less than a week now. Actually, the deadline is September 21st. So if you're passionate about whether cruising should return or should not return right yet, make your voice heard to the CDC. You can do that up on their website. And I put up on my column this week, Bowman's Travel Brief. Make your voice heard to the CDC.
Yes, definitely do that. And that ties right into one of the emails we got from a listener of ours, from Jeff Kerber, who's a travel advisor with Warp One Travel. He was nice enough to reach out with some very expansive thoughts, which we totally appreciate the detail and the organization of all these thoughts here in a well-thought-out email. I'm going to kind of paraphrase this a little bit without taking anything he says out of context here, but for anybody else who wants to reach out with any thoughts they have on the program, definitely do what Jeff did and reach out to us at podcast@travelpulse.com. Jeff started off his email by saying that he listens to our podcast on a morning bicycle ride on Fridays and Saturdays. So that just opened me up immediately to, like, when are people listening to the podcast? Are they sitting down working? A lot of people aren't commuting. When I listen to podcasts, is usually when I was commuting or in a car a lot. So I'm kind of interested to hear when people are listening to our podcast. Are you listening to it in the shower? Are you out fucking weeding the garden? I don't know. So he started out there. He gave us some thoughts, which was great to hear. Number one, he was saying that he does not think that cruising will resume November 1st, 2020. He doesn't see it being logistically possible, mainly because we're going right back into the CDC comment period. It doesn't close for another 10 days at the time of this being written, another 10 days. By the time they review all that, gets into early October, and then they would have to start pulling people back in, the crew and all these different procedures. It would be a very daunting task by November 1st. Jeff, I would agree with you there. Eric, do you have any thoughts on at least that part of the statement?
Oh, yeah, I'm with it. I think it's going to have to be pushed back. I think he said in the email that he doesn't see it happening until after Thanksgiving, maybe in December. I know we've talked about it on the show with previous guests as well, who don't think there'll be anything at all in 2020. So I'm holding out hope. I'm a positive guy. So I think that there will be at least a few, as we mentioned, maybe some of those trial runs, in December. Go to your private island or try a cruise to nowhere, and you just chill on the ship and you come back and you test people before they go and give that a shot.
Yeah, and that's what he did say here, is that he was a personal guest was being Thanksgiving week before the first U.S. sailing actually commences. So I would probably say right about then is what I would guess as well, but hopefully there are some of these. I mean, if you want to call them trial runs, I mean, it's essentially what they are if they decide to do those, at least how I see it. And the second part of his email, we were talking about the passenger that was on the Princess ship, the ship that got had a number of different positive cases of coronavirus, saying that she wants to, she's going right back into cruising. So here are some of Jeff's thoughts on why she and thousands of others are going to be returning to cruising as soon as possible. And he started out by saying, early on in this pandemic, as the COVID cases were identified on cruise ships, passengers were testing positive. They were immediately quarantined. This is the same thing that would have happened on shore. The big difference was an inability to get the rest of the passengers, some of whom were likely asymptomatic, away from each other and the crew. This was not an issue with the cruise lines, but with the governments of countries where the cruise lines would normally port. And there comes, the problems with porting in different places. Maybe a cruise to nowhere could resolve that issue. He goes on to say that cruise lines were working to bring people home, getting passengers off the ships and away from this whole petri dish type of situation. Governments were forcing the cruise lines to create a COVID incubator, so to speak. In April, Business Insider reported 1,951 cases on board. Usually those numbers increase between the date of the report and the and when the crew goes to leave. According to Johns Hopkins University, more than 2 million cases were reported globally as of May 1st. So that means cases on cruise ships accounted for 0.000975 of all reported cases. Granted, the community tracing would make that larger, but I think you see my point. Yes, Jeff, I do see your point there, and it's very, small number of cases. And Jeff continues to go on here, basically saying that now in this new normal, quote unquote, cruise lines are doing more to keep passengers as safe as they possibly can. Cruisers know the risks of being on board in an environment like this. They've accepted those risks. The cruise lines are reporting positive trends, and basically saying, I'm going to scroll down a little bit here and wrap this up. Very much appreciate the lengthy, detailed email here, Jeff. And essentially what he's saying is that cruisers are ready to go. Many don't care if it's at 100% capacity or 50%. And he's speaking from to a ton of different clients that are interested in cruising, which is great. And that's why we love hearing from listeners like this. Most don't want to wear masks on board or anywhere. They don't want to be restricted to using excursions provided only by the cruise line, something that travel advisors oppose as well due to the fact that we can book our clients with reliable third-party suppliers and get paid a commission. So these are all great points. I appreciate reaching out. Anybody, if you have similar viewpoints, who you're talking to, different things like that, definitely reach out to us at podcast@travelpulse.com. Jeff, we thank you for writing in. Eric, do you have any additional thoughts on here? Because I agree pretty wholeheartedly here with Jeff.
Yeah, I agree most with that. I think the one takeaway from his comment there I would want to jump on is that he said most guests don't want to wear masks on board. And I can get that, you know, having visited some all-inclusive resorts in Cancun and then the Dominican Republic, you know, people want to be, you know, enjoy their vacation. They don't want to wear a mask, and you can stay socially distant on that. A little bit tougher on a cruise ship, I think. So I think you're going to have masks required on that. And that's going to be something that cruise lines will have to adapt to and push out there. Yeah, obviously, even with, you know, if you have to get tested before you get on board, I think they're still going to have that. It's a lot of the public perception around the cruising is, you know, they can't afford another blowback. And, you know, everyone wants to call them a giant Petri dish and everything like that, which is not entirely accurate because a Petri dish is closed and, you know, cruise ships are pretty open and open air, but that's, we're not going to get into that. But that's my takeaway from that as far as the whole mask thing. So mask up in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think masking on a cruise ship wouldn't be any different than what you're doing off the cruise ship. I mean, if you're going out eating here now in New Jersey, they opened up indoor dining. You still have to wear a mask, obviously. Then once you sit at your table, you can take it off. I mean, I could see that being implemented on ships. I mean, I wouldn't personally have a huge problem with that. A lot of cruisers probably don't want anything to do with that, especially if you're out on the deck of the cruise ship or something. It's like kind of like changes so much like on different parts of where you're at on the ship and everything. And obviously, it depends what size ship you're on and everything like that. So I think it'll definitely be a while before they set all this stuff in place. However, if you want your voice heard and not just to us, you can make it known to the CDC. The deadline for submitting your comments on all of this is September 21st. We've posted multiple things about that if you want to try and search on Travel Pulse to get to the exact link of it, but it is on the CDC's website where you can submit your thoughts on you know, kind of where cruising can go from here. And now branching out from just cruising, we do have some positive news around just travel in general, that travel sentiment is improving. Eric, do you have any more details on this story?
Yeah, more Americans are likely to travel in the next 6 months. This is according to new data from MMGY. So love to see that. A lot of travel enthusiasts out there, we've been saying it for a while, the pent-up travel demand. So people are going to want to be getting out. How they travel is definitely going to be a little different. But one thing some folks are experiencing now and others are worried about in the near future is travel shaming. Additional study came out, Transforming Traveler Study, is aimed to gauge how tourists feel, think, and plan travel in the age of COVID-19. And half of those surveyed on this said they expected to censor their social media posts to avoid being travel shamed. I myself have not been travel shamed in person, probably behind my back. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, my international trips were trips for work, but I have done some trips for pleasure since, you know, restrictions were lifted, and I made sure I didn't go to a place where I'd have to quarantine specifically coming home and everything. But, you know, I have seen some interesting comments, you know, on Twitter at Eric Bowman _. That's where you can follow me. But Dan, well, what about you? Have you experienced any travel shaming? I'd love to know if any listeners out there have experienced travel shaming themselves, or are their clients coming back and talking about that? I'd love for feedback on that too.
I would hope that most of, if not all of our listeners here aren't the ones out shaming other people for traveling. So maybe they do have some stories or things that they can tell from clients they've booked on a trip. Me personally, I mean, as I've said on here so many times before, I've been on the, we went on our honeymoon in the 20 something of March, just this past year. And we went out of JFK right in New York down to Antigua. We were there for 6 or 7 days, had to cut it short and came back. But during that whole thing, I mean, that was right at the beginning when things really started to hit the fan here in the US. Right then, it wasn't anything about masks. We didn't have to wear masks at all. Right at that point, it was all about the hand sanitizer and touching things. We weren't necessarily shamed over that. I think just because it was tied to such a big, you know, moment in our, you know, milestone in our lives, and we got married the day before, and some people backed out of that. As far as the shaming goes, no, but I can definitely see people, especially nowadays with how social media it is, how much this divided people and how everybody on there is now an expert on everything. No matter what side you're on, there's always somebody that has an opinion about something. I haven't seen any of it personally. I have heard and seen stories out there about it, and just, you know, all the different studies they do with how social media just really messes with you mentally and everything. I can see that just not doing a world of good for so many people mentally on either side of this entire thing. But it's definitely out there and happening. So if it's happened to anybody or any of your clients, definitely reach out to us and let us know. It'd be a very good conversation to have. I would love to have anybody on either side of that talk about it.
Definitely. And if social media has been getting to you lately, I highly recommend a digital detox on that, so you can step away, get a breath of fresh air. So yeah, but moving along in the travel industry trending news, we have additional good news for our travel agent community listeners. The new advanced commission payment for agents from Colette was announced recently, and this is fantastic for the industry. We've had some agents mention this before to us about how, you know, with everything that happened during the COVID and the shutdowns, and you know, a lot of people trying to get their refunds and agents missing out on money and everything, Colette's coming out and going to do an advanced commission payment where you can get some money before the people actually travel, and then you'll get the rest of money after they go on the trip. And I absolutely love this. This is great for the industry, and I really hope that other companies in the travel world follow suit with this.
I found that it was interesting that this was coming from a tour operator. You know, they took a beating with a lot of these, and a lot of these companies that they go out of business or they're not doing so well. The whole refund controversy was a topic of two or three episodes of ours a few months ago. So little details on this. It does say the new commission program will pay agents in advance for bookings made with the company, including $100 for land-only bookings, $125 for land and air bookings, and $200 for any bookings with the company's travel protection plan. They would disperse this to you upon the receipt of deposits, and the remainder of the commission would be paid when the client hits the road. If a trip does get canceled, the company said it would not ask agents to return the advance commission. So $100, $125, $200, I mean, that's at least, you know, I think it's a step in the right direction. Hopefully other companies follow suit, as you see in the travel industry. With one airline does one thing, all three others will follow them. So hopefully other ones are going to have to do this to, you know, compete with others. It's the great thing about having competition like that, is that you got to, you know, see whatever people are really gravitating towards and try and do better than that. So hopefully we can see those numbers go up over time as well. That would be great to see. So we've just covered a lot of really good news, a lot of good conversations that we've had with listeners. And now we're about to jump into another highly anticipated conversation with our interview guest today. We're going to welcome Samantha Brown onto the podcast here.
And now joining us on the Travel Pulse podcast is the wonderful Samantha Brown. Thank you so much for joining us, Samantha.
Great to be here.
Wonderful. And just for anyone who's not familiar with all your work and everything, could you just give a little bit of background about your experience in the travel world and on TV and everything?
Yeah, sure. I have been traveling professionally now for over 20 years. I started out as a host on the Travel Channel, which most people know me from, and now executive produce my own travel series on PBS called Samantha Brown's Places to Love.
Awesome. And for those who may not know, you've been doing a weekly Facebook live show going over all of those previous episodes of the Samantha Brown's Places to Love. Could you talk a little bit more about that and kind of what you go over? Is it exactly what it sounds like? And how can listeners check that out?
Yeah, so this is we do a Facebook Live. When I say we, I mean myself and my husband and executive producer, Kevin O'Leary. That is not the Shark Tank Kevin O'Leary. People always get think I'm married to him, and I'm not. and if you watch the Facebook Live, you'll see very, very different looking man. But we do it every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live on Facebook, and it's a good hour. Sometimes we go over an hour. But this was our way of pivoting and keeping travel alive and the thoughts of travel alive, where we show one of our episodes. We are now on season one, but really do kind of a commentating on it and behind the scenes, more logistics, how scenes were edited, what issues we had there, because there's, of course, traveling, and then there is producing and hosting a travel show. And they're very different. And so I think people really responded well to understand the hard work that goes behind kind of showing the places that we love and also behind the scene antics. And of course, people love to hear when things went terribly wrong. So, and how we kind of survived and you never knew. So it's been a lot of fun, and the response we've gotten has been fantastic. People really appreciate just kind of the just behind the scenes look at a travel show and hopefully me, who they've trusted for, you know, close to 2 decades now.
Yeah, it's been a great series to watch, and a lot of the good Q&A back and forth too has really been a good interaction for fans to check that out. So you, on one of the recent shows, actually, you said something that really stuck out to me. You said, when you watch the news, you feel like the world is ending, but when you travel, you realize it's not. And I thought that was beautiful, and I just want to get your thoughts. Like, how do you think the coronavirus pandemic that we're in now has shaped your view on the future of travel?
Well, I think one thing is true is that in the last few months, we've realized just that travel is a necessity. We were meant to travel as human beings. And when that was cut off for us, that's when we realized what we had and what we lost and what we slowly have now started to regain. And so this idea that it's a necessity is so important. We need that change of scenery. And most importantly, what I have found is that what I desperately miss in travel is just the quick social interactions I have with strangers, and how that has just been so wonderful in my life. And that is what I've deeply missed. And so just those little things. And so what I think will change as we are slowly coming back to travel, we're all going baby steps, you know, doing baby steps back into traveling to different places again, especially for pleasure, is that we'll understand its necessity. And as well as, I think on the other side, with everyone in the pandemic, we've also been really heightened to our own locality and just how dependent we are on small businesses to keep us feeling like we're thriving and mentally fit, whether it's a great restaurant we can get takeout from, whether it's the bookstore, those people, those small places that stayed open so that we could still get our groceries, the farmers that still worked. And we have such a greater appreciation on just a very, very local, sometimes even your own block. I live in New York City, so it's a block thing. But if you live in a small town, that small main street, who are these people? And how can we make sure the ones who aren't open right now still survive? And that idea that it is all upon us to make sure that small businesses and people survive and thrive, I believe is going to carry with, we're going to carry that with us as we travel to far destinations, because every destination we go to is someone's local. So how can we affect positively these environments we're going into? How can we make sure that the money we're spending is staying in that community, because we saw on, you know, and are still seeing, it's still, because it's still, of course, ongoing, just how important it is that we support the people of our community so the money stays with our neighborhoods and our small towns and our box, that sort of thing. That we've learned that. And I hope and I believe that when we travel, that's what we're going to make sure that we still take with us, so that we support local businesses now when we've gotten on a plane and gone, you know, 10,000 miles away.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that, and I think that's a perfect way to put it, in realizing that you work with small businesses here to be able to actually travel, and then when you go there, to support their local economies there as well. And that's one of the great things you can do while traveling. A two-sided approach there. And while speaking of small businesses as well, we have a lot of travel advisors out there that listen to this podcast. And I wanted to get your take on that, mainly because we've featured you in Travel Pulse many times. Agents listening, they probably recognize the name Samantha Brown from reading about her on Travel Pulse many times. So what has your experience been like personally with working with or talking to, dealing with travel advisors in general? And how important of a role do you think they're going to be playing in the industry and travel moving forward when we get on the other side of this whole pandemic?
Well, I'll take the second part of that question first, because the travel agent will be the most important part of anyone's trip going forward. If you're planning anything that is a substantial amount of travel, even here in the United States, travel agents will see a huge boost in awareness of what they truly bring to the table when you hire a travel agent, which is someone who cares about you, who is passionate about your trip, and will be your advocate should something go wrong. as well as be able to navigate all the rules and restrictions that change daily in this world that will continue to change for the foreseeable future. I mean, even till next summer. So I feel like they are going to be literally the most valuable player in this scenario of people feeling safe again to travel, that they have that advocate. And then from my own experience, I feel like travel agents and myself, we get along very well. We have so many similarities, but we approach our job, or maybe we our jobs are slightly different. But for both of us, what we have in common is that, we are people who travelers trust. And that is everything for ourselves, right? That people trust us, and they rely on our advice and our experience to make sure that they know that the traveler will have that same great experience as well. And so my experience with travel agents has been this incredible body of workers, of people who deeply are passionate about travel, as well as wanting people to have better travel experiences. And so, of course, we approach that differently. I have a show where I show people how to travel, and so they can see it and feel it and think, hey, I want to have that. And so I've always said my shows are call to action to travel. This is not, hey, look what she gets to do and all this great VIP stuff. I don't do VIP things. We're a travel agent. I'm sure could really hook you up better than I could. But what I do is want to is show people, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. And I feel that role with the travel agent is vital. It's trust. And, it's easy to book flights, but everything else becomes really much more difficult. And having someone who you trust, who cares about you and your experience of travel, is going to be everything going forward.
Definitely. The trust is key. And one way travel agents like to stay informed, obviously, is with shows and be entertained in as well. So season 4, filming of Places to Love, when I interviewed back in March, you were looking forward to going to Europe. And then, the pandemic has shut everything down. So obviously, things are on hold right now. But if restrictions are lifted by the end of the year and we're able to go to Europe before the end of the year, is filming going to be back on for the show? Or are you just pushing everything to 2021 for right now?
Luckily, our show isn't just about Europe. We travel all around the world, so we do plan on finishing season 4. It'll be a much more abridged version. We usually do 13 episodes. We think we're on schedule to be able to deliver 5, but we're staying within the United States. And of course, even within the United States, there are restrictions. If I go to a place, then I have to plan on, quarantining when I come back for 2 weeks. We have a crew that is coming from the West Coast that has to quarantine in New York City, and all these kinds of rules that we are still up against, but know we have a way through. Europe, that's a different, I think we made the call that we will not be traveling to Europe this year, mainly because the projection is for our own, safety, is that with the flu season coming, December might see a big spike. And so if I was just a traveler wanting to go to Europe, I might still go ahead because I'm an executive producer who is responsible for the health and wellness of 8 people, as well as the people we come in direct contact with. That becomes much more tricky. So we're going to stick to the United States, and we already have been talking to the people we were postponing in Europe March and saying, well, why don't we just do it a year later? And they're like, let's do it. So things are still, we just keep pushing back. I say we've canceled nothing. We're just postponing things as we see it. And always always at the ready to travel, because that's what, that's what I love to do. So but we are excited. We think we can get a few episodes for season 4 just in the United States.
And you mentioned that different states, having their different measures in place where you have to quarantine and go into certain states and everything. And it's been a hot topic on here because of a lot of people showing interest in domestic travel. I've done it a bunch myself. So for those that are itching to travel this fall and winter, whether it's, going the domestic route or going somewhere international, where do you think would be good for people to go in the next few months here?
It's interesting. Before, go through the hot topic, where to travel now, lists of travel and leisure, maybe New York Times, whatever. And now it's just the CDC. Right? That's where you see Which is so, you know, because there's where you want to go and there's where you should be going and where you can go. So, you know, I think the fall is going to have a wonderful travel season because it shouldn't be much more different than even last year. In the fall travel, we stay closer to home anyway. We're seeing the fall foliage. We're staying in our cars. It's kind of like what people did in the summer. What we've always done for fall travel. It's shorter trips, quicker trips, closer to home, but still getting out there. So I don't see that being a huge change in how people normally travel. The winter, it becomes different. If you're going to travel outside of the States, of course, the Caribbean has got some great options where, you know, they require COVID tests, but I think Jamaica is like within 10 days, which is pretty loose if you ask me. You know, summer 72 hours. That's a little bit more in my comfort zone of knowing that people are COVID free. So you're going by those lists to determine where you can go. And the thing about those lists is they change often. So it's really important to come back, go back and just check the list of where you can go.
Definitely. And then working with a travel advisor can really help in that regard too, as information is constantly changing throughout the year. Is there any particular place that you can't wait to visit again, though, when restrictions are lifted?
Oh, gosh. Every place. I mean, Europe, definitely. I mean, we've been trying to get there. I remember when I talked to you in March, I honestly thought that we'd be fine come, like, you know, fall. You're right. Oh, we'll be back. And so it's been disappointing to realize how off my crystal ball was this whole COVID thing. How long it was going to affect us. But yeah, I think just the beauty of Europe is definitely beckoning because it was cut so quickly from us. So that's where I'm looking forward to getting back to.
Same. Yeah. Europe is vast and there's so many things you can do and so many things yet to discover as well. So you've been to Europe several times, as we mentioned, you had a show fully about Europe and with your show now, Places to Love, you also ventured to Europe as well. So you also have a episode study guide for kids who might be doing virtual learning. I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about that for any folks listening out there with kids or grandkids even.
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, this was, I loved doing this because people use Passport to Europe, my travel channel show, as a study topic in their high school. They told me back then, and I was like, wow, I was really flattered by that. So Places to Love, because it's PBS, it's for everyone. And we just took the episodes we thought would be, just had the best interaction of people as well as cultures and made study guides out of them. And I think our main kind of call to action with that was we have been without learning about the other for so long, right? We've all been really isolated with our own families and we can't get together with our friends. And so we miss meeting people who are different than us, who come from different places. And that is what my series is all about. It's really about people and having an understanding that everyone has a passion and what they do to connect their passion with other people so that people's lives are better. And what a wonderful overall lesson that we can learn about travel right from the beginning, right? As a young person, as young as kindergarten, just understand that is why you travel. You don't travel just to kind of check things off your list and go to this museum. You go so that you see how other people live and how we are the same and how we are wonderfully different. And so all of the questions with the study guides, it's not dates. It's not, what happened in 1782. It's about what did this person do that really resonated with you? Why would you want to go there? So it's more conversational questions rather than test questions, because goodness knows children have enough of that. I have two 7-year-olds who are starting second grade tomorrow. I kind of realized what would be, and they watched the shows with me and would ask me questions. And so a lot of the questions were centered around their reaction to the show. And so we did too. We did a elementary school guide as well as a junior high school guide.
Oh, that's really interesting. A different way to look at it. And it definitely sounds intriguing. You know, I wish I had that when I was younger. Then again, I can say I was stuck at home for virtual learning. So that's definitely got to be a different thing. And having something like that is definitely really cool to have. So hopefully, if anybody wants to check that out, go find that. And while we're talking about that, let people know where they can find you and where they can find all these great resources, videos, tools, and everything. If you want to let them know any of your social media handles, emails, whatever you want to do.
Sure. So my study guides, everything I do is up on my own website, samantha-brown.com. And that's where you can stream every single episode we've ever produced for PBS. Place to Love is there as well, plus articles. Then I'm mainly on Instagram. That's the one I respond to most. So I'm at Samantha Brown Travels. And then Facebook, if you're on our Facebook Live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that is at Real Samantha Brown.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us, Samantha. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Nice talking to you guys again.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for listening to today's episode. We'll catch you next week.